Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan on a breaking news Cowboys Monday. Mike McCarthy is out of here. So we'll talk about it. General at your service. Salute to you. Thanks for making us part of your day. There's Broadus. You have Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup over there. Master Control here, 75 and Fitz. You fixing to go 5 hours flawless. Radio producing, engineering, hosting, and more. You, of course, you have Woolchuck and Chiafalo. You have Carter Freeman, who's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you if you would like to react. I don't think I've ever been more wrong on a story. You know, I thought we were heading for Mike McCarthy back, but as the story evolved through the weekend and into this morning, apparently he decided he will not return as head coach in 2025. Contract with the Cowboys expired last Wednesday. The team had an exclusive negotiating window with coach until tomorrow night. The sides have not had any negotiations regarding a new deal, sources told Adam Schefter on Monday. There's another report that suggests maybe they did talk or there was a feeling out process. NFL.com says the years on a new deal was the main significant issue. So that's kind of what we're working on here. I guess my reaction is I'm hopeful, but I'm not excited. I'm not optimistic. I'm just hopeful that they can stumble upon a coach that you know has the right answers and the right combination of trades. But yeah. After so many years, it's difficult to imagine that even if that coach had all the right traits, he would be put in a situation where those could manifest. So, you know, I'm not sure what to make of this. Mm-mm-mm. And then you look at the roster and the cap situation. I don't know. You know, like maybe 2014 to 2023 was the golden era for Cowboys football, like making the playoffs. And now we're heading for, you know, what can be a really tough place to compete with the Dak Prescott contract and all the dead money there. And, you know, Zach Martin moving along in retirement. It just doesn't seem like there's much to get excited about right now with this Cowboys franchise. And that's a tough place to be. I felt like for the previous 10 years, we at least had some hope. I don't know where to find that right now, guys. So that's kind of where I'm at with this Cowboys team.
No, I get it. I get it. I mean, I am thankful that they the ultimate decision that they made, the way they got here was foolish because you should have just, they're not decisive at all.
Yeah.
In anything they do.
Yeah.
So, and then now they had this exclusive window to negotiate with Mike McCarthy, and now they've exclusively boxed themselves out of all the other studs that remain because they don't actually want a stud. They want to go just get a guy that they're just comfortable potentially making the playoffs with and that they can undermine at every turn. And so there's no guarantee it gets better. But we knew what the ceiling was for McCarthy, and I'm so thankful that we're going to see a new offense. Hopefully it's not the Kellen Moore thing, and now we're just doing the exact same recycling. But I'm excited for new, man. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, Kellen Moore wouldn't surprise me at all. There's Pellicer up there saying McCarthy will not return. Sides could not agree on length of contract. So there's going to be a lot of reports. And, you know, I don't know if we'll ever get a full-on, like, objective truth on exactly what happened. But I think what the Cowboys are looking at is this next year is going to be even worse than last year. We want a coach that's willing to ride this thing out. And then maybe hire a new guy in 2026, you know, when we can maybe spend some money. Maybe by that point we've had a couple of, you know, good draft classes that have come around. And, you know, we'll be able to give a head coach a fresh slate and a chance on making a good impression. And if I'm Mike McCarthy in that spot, I don't want to come back next year for a team that's even worse. So I guess that's my read on the how and the why and the when of this situation. But, you know, the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open for you. It's open for interpretation.
Yeah, I don't think that – I think Mike McCarthy loved his players. I don't think Mike McCarthy loved the front office.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the front office really loved Mike McCarthy. you know, and I think that's where we're at, where we're at right now. I think Mike appreciates the fact that his guys played hard for him. I think he appreciates the coaches that worked with him. I think he got along great with Mike Zimmer. I think that was something, you know, you kind of, you always worry about with new coaches coming in and the coaches they brought. You know, I think he really appreciates that opportunity to work. You know, this front office is difficult, though. It's very, very difficult to for the way that it operates, you know, with the Chief talked about it perfectly with the decisions and how quickly you come to decisions and how decisive you are on decisions. And, you know, are you in a situation where, you know, you're kind of talking in circles and those kinds of things? And that just kind of, you know, I can understand why, you know, Mike McCarthy, Brad Sham, and Zach and I think we're, and maybe Chief, I don't know if it was you in the pregame show, but Brad Sham, we were talking about this. Hey, does Mike McCarthy, does he actually even want to be here?
Mm-hmm.
I think we got our answer today.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe over the weekend, you know, to that point, maybe he'd heard that in Chicago and New Orleans, their interviews haven't gone great. And maybe those teams are starting to think we could really use a veteran with a track record of winning in multiple places instead of rolling the dice on an unknown.
Yeah.
You know, and if I'm Mike McCarthy and I hear that along with, you know, Jerry Heman and Hahn about giving me a 4 or 5 year deal, suddenly those opportunities can look a lot more promising. I know there's a poll out today of like, former coaches looking at the Cowboys as one of the best opportunities out there.
Yeah.
But if you've been here for 5 years and you can see how the sausage is made, to borrow a quote from Wolchuk there during crosstalk, and now there's a grass is greener opportunity out there for you, either with a young quarterback with potential in a front office with an appetite for winning now, or New Orleans where you've worked before and, you know, is I think a franchise with a better chance of winning a Super Bowl than the Cowboys. Maybe a chance to find your next quarterback here over the next offseason or two. I think those opportunities could be more attractive at this point. So hopefully, you know, he gets a chance to talk with those teams and we'll hear more from Mike, you know, reflecting on his time with the Cowboys. It'd be a hell of a book.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, here we are now hoping that the Cowboys can find somebody better and believing, you know, that they'll probably go with somebody they're familiar with or is an old retread, you know, maybe probably not somebody that's going to get us that excited. What we do know is that they don't have a chance to talk with these coaches that are still active in the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's that's goes back again to what Eric's talking about, their indecisiveness. They might but already
deliberately have, indecisive.
Yeah, they might have
because a, they don't just, want Ben Johnson. Yeah, they don't even care.
But yeah. There's just no vision. There's no vision. There's no plan. I don't know that there ever has been. I mean, I don't know the last time that there was. Maybe it was back when they needed to get AT&T Stadium built, and Jerry realized, man, I got to get somebody actually that can turn this around and knows what the hell they're doing, and that's let me hire Bill Parcells. And then what did Bill Parcells do? Brian, you were there. You guys were able to finally put together some good drafts. 2005 built a foundation for a team that then could go ahead and contend for the next 10 years. That's really what happened there. And then ever since then, it's like, ah, we'll give Jason Garrett, who's an average as hell head coach. Nobody else wanted him after he was fired. He was one and done with the Giants, orchestrated one of the worst offenses in the history of the NFL as an OC that you thought was a boy genius offensive wonder. He's gone. Then you bring in Mike. Mike brought some stability. But this is, I mean, the circus slash clown show, whatever you want to call it, it is very, very difficult to manage and deal with as a head coach. And then if you want to look at, okay, the offensive coordinator, maybe that'll get you excited. When's the last time, Cowboy fans, you've been happy with an offensive coordinator the Cowboys have hired? It was Kellen Moore. It was Scott Linehan. It was Bill Callahan, Garrett, Mo Carthon, Bruce Coslett, Jack Riley, Ernie Zampezi. Do we need to go back to North Turner in the 90s? This team's never going to bring in somebody that's like forward thinking. They've got to go ahead and deal with somebody that's comfortable. They got to accidentally fall into it. You hit that on the head there, Gavin. Like they've fallen into Romo. They fell into Dak. That's the one thing where, man, I think it's totally crazy and asinine to think about Jason Witten going from head coach in high school football to head coach of an NFL team. But maybe that's the crazy psycho move that I'm not going to respect and the rest of the National Football League shouldn't respect. But can you accidentally fall into then Maybe he is a great head coach.
Jason Witten doesn't want to be over his skis again.
Maybe he does.
He doesn't want to do something he's not prepared for. He doesn't want to get thrusted and skip the line into another job. He's done that once.
Man. But Kellen Moore sure isn't doing it for you, right? Maybe they just elevate Mike Zimmer. Maybe that's an answer for you. You can keep continuity on defense. Maybe then Zim can go out and bring in an offensive coordinator, assuming they let him. Do they let the head coach do the hiring? That's always a question mark here as well.
Yeah, see, that's why I feel like that maybe, and I think you very well put the whole situation with Jason Witten, but then also they could help him with the hiring of the staff. Then all of a sudden you do see Matt Eberflus show up. You see Mark Colombo show up again. You see Leon Lett come back. Yeah. You see George Edwards come back. You know, you see
all of a sudden brought us back in the scouting department.
No, that ain't going to happen at all. But, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, I think there's guys that, like, if you don't like Witten, I think Gruden's in play here. I really do. I think there's a certain level. I called out to North Carolina, asked Mike Lombardi. I go, does this change anything that you guys are thinking about, you know, with the Cowboy Open? He says, not at all. So I would eliminate what's going on out there, you know, with Bill Belichick coming back. But I think you have to be open to, like, the maybe the crazy side of this thing. Maybe it is going to be a very much what we've liked to talk about, the Al Davis type of approach where, wow, you know, Lane Kiffin just got this job, you know, and that kind of a coach. And maybe it turns into where, you know, it's guys they're familiar with, but they bring guys back that understand how the operation works. You know, John Kitna coming back, you know, guys, like if you hired Kellen Moore, there goes, you know, there's Doug Nussmeier back in the picture, a fan favorite of Dak, that'd make your quarterback happy. Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Make him happy.
I think that's I think the Ben Johnsons and the Aaron Glenns of the world and stuff like that. Probably not for here, but somewhere else. Surely that's going to be a head coach at some of these other stops.
You know, and I still send all that back through the filter of no matter who your coach is, you could go find Shanahan plus Walsh plus Jimmy Johnson plus Newt Rockne, put all their brains into one, have the perfect coach. You still have Dak Prescott as your quarterback. You still don't have a good offensive line. You still have one good wide receiver and an average tight end. You don't have a running back. Like, you have to nail so many personnel things.
And those aren't, like, necessarily the end of the world problems, because we can see a Commanders roster go from garbage to pretty dang awesome playoff round two in one season if you have a front office willing to make it happen. The biggest problem is that you have all those holes and you don't have any avenues other than the draft to fill them.
Well, it looks like they have.
So that's a disaster.
To your point, they have a quarterback.
Yeah, the Commanders hit on their quarterback.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of it. And you're right. With Dak, I don't know that any of us know what version we're getting. I think we've all, as Cowboy fans, you want Dak to succeed and be awesome. But even it goes back to Brian, you've been telling us for years. Jerry had questions. Is this our guy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. See, how much do you need to see before you make the decision? This is our guy.
That's why today is gloom. We can look to the doom that's coming, but today is wonderful, man. I'm glad they didn't wait another 10 years. They didn't do the Jason Garrett thing. They at least drew a line in the sand. Well, super haphazardly, indecisive, late. All of that.
I don't think they did anything.
The ultimate conclusion, I'm just glad that we're getting something different here.
But yeah, I don't think that they deserve the credit here. I think Mike made the decision for them.
Well, to an extent, yes, but they obviously drew their line in the sand of like, hey, if you want to be back, it's going to be on these qualifiers.
Yeah.
And so they helped him make that decision.
I can't give them credit for saying, oh, we want to move on here, when they didn't. They didn't want to move on.
Well, maybe it's another example of them falling into something cool, but the idea that we're looking for something new now is really awesome.
Well, see, if you were a Cowboy fan, would you feel even better about the situation if you were looking for a coach and trying to find the quarterback?
Yes, there's no doubt.
That's where there's no doubt. They could have got to, this thing had a chance before the football season to, like, okay, let's just let this thing ride.
Yeah.
If we can, we'll replace the quarterback and replace the head coach.
But that would take foresight and being decisive, a plan.
Yeah. Which they don't have.
Well, because they don't have an actual football guy doing the things. We talked about it last week. It's just, who's the last guy Jerry heard from? He's just outsourcing everything. So it's hard to have, like, a true definitive plan, because that can change by the second, by the phone call, by the text. And that's obviously the biggest problem.
Well, you're probably not going with my gut on anything here, but I agree with the 469. He says, how much you want to bet Mike Zimmer is going to be the next head coach?
It could be.
I just feel like that's the perfect bridge to get through 2025 that's going to be worse than 2024. and give yourself maybe a chance to hire a coach with a clean slate.
I tell you what, though, I think Mike Zimmer is tired.
Yeah, I don't think he's just taking a willy-nilly, crappy one-year deal.
He did a pretty good job in the second half. He absolutely did, but I just wonder if he wants to really go through another 1 year like you're talking about. Okay, Mike, yeah. we'll bring you along, and when the team goes 5-12, then we'll fire you and we'll go get a real guy, you know, kind of a thing. So I don't know if Mike wants to go through that again. I haven't talked to Mike about that.
Yeah.
But I do think he was wore down at the end. You know, if he's not having the stomach to come back and be a defensive coordinator, or do you think you want him coming back as the head coach? You know, if he's thinking about not even coming back as a DC, no. I don't know if I'd want to.
I've got to handle more responsibility, more crap.
Got to deal with Broad is talking bad probably about me. Not. I mean, no.
Well, he came back to do this.
Yeah,
you know,
I think he came back
on
as
a one-year.
I think he came back as a favor to Jerry and Steven. I really do. I think that he's, and he talks about his son who he lost, and who was a coach and all that. And, you know, but there's a side of me that just believes that, like, yeah, this was a tough year on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wonder if he doesn't have the stomach to come back as a DC with somebody different, will he want to be the head coach?
You don't think there's a chance he's negotiating saying that stuff?
I don't know. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just, McCarthy made a decision. Mike Zimmer has the same ability to do that right now himself.
Well, the only positive I can make out of this, guys, is I do believe I uttered last week, if Mike's not back, another bet payoff, which puts me at 5, which is convenient because on Radio Row in New Orleans, there are 5 shows to do.
Yeah, I got 3.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, well, wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do a payoff a day on Radio Row. How about that, boys?
I love this.
How about that?
This is making the Super Bowl week way more spicy.
We're going to have to sneak in all sorts of that. crazy contraband for you to be able to pull off these stunts.
Hey, let's go. I'm a man of my word. I may not have paid off these bets in a timely fashion, but it has been hanging over me. So it will get done at Radio Row.
How Jerry of you?
In a couple of weeks.
I'll get it done eventually.
G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. What do we have next, Woolchuck?
I guess we'll do some true or fart next.
Yeah, buddy, welcome back. G-Bag of the Day is coming up in 8 minutes. This segment of the nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here's Woolchuck as we react to Wild Card Weekend.
All right, yeah, reacting to Wild Card Weekend, reacting to Mike McCarthy and the Cowboys parting ways as he's out as the head coach here in Dallas, according to multiple sources. Take it away, Robert Flores.
All right, we've moved to the red zone as far as the running back conversation goes here on this SportsCenter Fantasy Draft Special. True or far, false, Marshawn Lynch matches last year's production.
All right, true or fart here, and I'm going to start with you, Gavin, and this is Cowboys related, as our buddy Nick Harris of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram has an article out now about future Cowboy coaching candidates. And Josh Clark, who does an excellent job with the website, pointed out that Nick Harris is saying it's widely expected that Jason Witten is going to be on the staff next year, whether as the head coach or another position. It does not matter. He will somehow be on the staff. Which leads me, NFL true or fart style, to ask you, Gavin, Jason Witten will be the Dallas Cowboys head coach within 5 years or less?
Ooh, that's a good question. So he'd be the next guy after this?
Yeah, I mean, if they're going to put
coaching
him on the staff,
waiting,
yeah, they're going to groom him, just like Jason Garrett did with Wade, and then he can sandbag it and end up taking that job.
I'm just going to go off what I think I've witnessed as far as covering Jason Witten as a player. And then, you know, the play-by-play and where he's at right now, I would think, you know, maybe he'll try to do a Dion where he goes to coach in college, where his influence can be bigger. I never got the feeling that it was a guy with the overall intellectual horsepower to be the guy that's determining a game plan or, you know, calling plays or anything like that. I think he could possibly be a Dan Campbell type of coach where it's a lot of accountability and rah-rah and we're going to get him and I'm the culture guy. But I just think it's so far-fetched to imagine Jason Witten leading an NFL team based on, you know, who he is as a person and a personality. It doesn't strike me as a guy that would be a great candidate. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, will the Cowboys still give him a chance? And I guess that's possible. But I think ultimately they'll side with experience and you know, people that have significant more than Witten has.
Sounds like a fart to me there, Woolchuck.
Yeah. Yeah, big old fart on that
fart
one.
A stinky one on there?
Gosh, it's tough. It's very tough, but I am going to lean true here. I do think that is, I will say that is the plan if there is one. Like in the back of Jerry's mind, it's like maybe I can't fast track him immediately from Taps to the head coach of the freaking Cowboys as much as I want to. Let me do a little something here. Let him bake here for maybe a couple of seasons and then thrust him in there. So I think it's very, very real. And for that reason, I will go no fart, true.
I think it's true.
Yeah.
I think it might be sooner than later, too. Just, you know, familiarity. That's the number one thing. And I think they believe that with their help, that they could put together a staff for him. And I think that's what makes it very, very inviting, that they can have control of the guys and the gals that they want to bring here and put on staff. And so I'm saying that's true.
I'm going to go true as well. I think this
feels awful big.
This is happening.
Oh, it is awful big.
This is happening.
But you're dealing with an organization, as we all know, that aren't going to get fired. You know, you could take a chance. See, this is where I thought the Cowboys were going to take a chance and, you know, move on from McCarthy and move on from Dak and all those things. And they proved, nah, we'll do it this way. We'll do it. You know, they don't care what we all think, of course. So, but the fact that they're not going to get fired of their jobs and they can make decisions like this makes perfect sense to me.
I'm going to stay right there with you, Brian. Your LSU Tiger, Heisman winner, Jaden Daniels. Yeah. He's going to take the Commanders into Detroit and absolutely dominate that banged up defense and lead them to the NFC title game.
Man, I want to believe that so much because I love Jaden Daniels, but I kind of feel like, though, that Detroit at home, you know, with that offense, and Jaden's going to have to put up a ton of points. He's capable of doing that, but I think Detroit, I worry more about the Commanders' defense slowing down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Lions. So I'm going to say that's going to be a fart.
Yeah, I'll fart on that as well. I think yesterday was more a result of Tampa just not being that good. I mean, what did he get? 2 touchdowns, 3 field goals. So, yeah, and the Lions are a team on a mission. You know, this team's going to run it up. And I think, what are you looking at? At least a 6.5-point spread, something like that. So I think that's pretty far-fetched.
Can you repeat the question, Your Honor? Is this about the Commanders beating the Lions?
Yeah, basically Jaden Daniels is going to be able to take advantage of that banged-up Lions D.
Oh, he will be taking advantage of that D, but he will not be winning the football game. I think this will be a high-scoring affair. Jaden Daniels is unbelievable. I mean, watching him and the composure, and don't get me wrong, the Bucs certainly shot themselves a million times last night on way to taking that L. But what Jaden Daniels is doing and has done all season, he will light it up. He will be fantastic. He will be keeping old Aaron Glenn up at night this week. But the Lions they're ready for this. They're primed.
Yeah, I'm going to fart on this one as well. I do think Jaden Daniels can play a good game. And if they have an opportunity in the fourth quarter, I mean, that drive they went on yesterday was masterful, essentially just running the clock out, getting the game-winning field goal, although that got dicey.
4 minutes and 14 seconds, I believe they ran off that
unbelievable
clock.
5-minute drill, basically. Yeah. But what Jaden Daniels is a masterful quarterback at such a young age already is much like Mahomes. Fourth quarter, game on the line, I can go win it. So if that's...
He's composed.
He's very composed. If that's a reality, I just think that the running game of Detroit is going to be too much. We'll go forward on it. Last one I want to throw your way. We get Lamar Jackson. We get Josh Allen. Do away with the MVP voting. Whoever wins this head-to-head matchup, that is who should be given the award post-game at midfield.
I kind of like that. This is a do or die, all the marbles
it's between
for the MVP.
Those two dudes.
I do think we're talking about a fight for the trophy that is as tight of a race as I can personally remember. Like you can make fantastic arguments for either one. You're doing the finest of hair splitting. So I love that. Just an added storyline to what is already just an epic moment, epic game.
I'll give it to them if the next week they can beat Kansas City, Woolchuck.
All right, there you go. True.
I think it's I like the idea of having a
kind of awesome
winner take all. But I hope it's better than what we saw with Minnesota and Detroit in that winner take all game. So I'm going to say it's true.
Thank you, Wolf Chuck. Time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has your G bag of the day.
All right. Yeah. Big news day here. So I'm going to make this fast so we can get back to the big hot news story of the day.
Big hot news, right?
Big hot news, yeah. It's a pretty big story. You
big
know what
story,
I mean?
Big.
It's a huge story.
Kind of like well-rounded story.
Triple X story.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. Our winner and champ so far. I think this is like day two for the final Cowboys crosstalk of the season.
Okay.
Where Cowboys great Tony Tolbert,
yes,
who went to UTEP,
mm-hmm,
he told those boys like a little secret that goes down there at UTEP.
When you go to UTEP, was it a culture shock?
Oh, yeah, it was rough.
he had that blizzard on campus and said, let me go to El Paso.
Well, it was funny because, you know, I right across the campus, of course, was Juarez.
Yeah.
And my first spring, tumbleweed, wasn't, you know, never seen a tumbleweed. And then, you know, I probably shouldn't tell this story, but it was funny because in the spring, a lot of the guys were sitting out in front, you know, the football guys. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? You know, I'm going to go out and just check it out. And when I walked out across the border, they were burning marijuana, and all the guys were getting high down there. and so I was like, okay, I get it now. But
that's tumbleweed. You guys ever drove through there?
No, I don't think so.
It's a really cool scene because you got the hill that comes down into
El Paso?
The town, and then you can see Mexico over
there.
Yeah.
I played the Sun Bowl. Staff at LSU, yeah. And they had us out there for bullfights. We were like, you have to participate in bullfights, which was pretty cool.
What is that even? You had to get into a fight?
Like, Olay. Like, we were in the ring with bullfights, yeah. We actually had a bullfight.
Like those viral videos of people that go out there and just get...
Yeah.
Mollywop by bull.
It was like
last man standing wins some of the prize.
Each team had to put up, and we put up a guy that is that was raised on a farm.
Not
ranch
a starter.
Guy.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Raised. Yeah. And he did it pretty good. He did an Olay
third
and
string.
Brought the crowd to its feet.
What motivates those people to do that? There's like 15 to 20 people standing out there, and they let the bull go. And I'm like, what convinced you to go out there?
It's like running with
parking
the bulls.
Lot drinking first?
Yes, that in Pamplona, it's a big part of it.
Yeah.
We're drinking all day.
Drinking all day.
Working up the liquid courage. Yeah.
Hey, speaking of steers, Texas versus OU game.
Yeah.
I watched the Pat McAfee broadcast of it here in the studio, by the way.
Oh.
Tim Tebow joined those guys, and he predicted Will Howard's run.
Yeah.
Well, you know, real, he tripped up too during
that
run.
Yeah.
Turf one, right?
Too excited.
Full Daniel Jones.
There you go, full Daniel.
Yeah, poor guy. Yeah, but Tim predicted that.
You know, one other thing that we haven't seen today? We haven't seen a keep by Will Howard on a zone read when they think it's going to a Travion, a Quinshon. That could be a really perfect time to pull that out too. Because he's a capable runner. Just ask the Big 12 of what he did to him.
Travion Henderson's in the huddle. Matthew McConaughey's losing his mind. He's asking the football gods in Texas Nation to come alongside with your voices. We need this one. A triple stamp and a double stamp here. Will Howard's making checks, so is the Texas defense. Will Howard, quarterback keeper. Good call, Tim Tebow. Will Howard stumbles.
You gotta keep your feet, young man.
Oh, no.
Will Howard got tackled by the 20-yard line. Great call by you. But also, great tackle.
It is a great equalizer.
Got tackled by the 20-yard line.
Keep your feet, young man.
The most amazing clips. That's what happens when you pass on giving it to a Quinshon or a Travion. You get a Will stumbling over his own feet halfway down the field.
That's a ball don't lie moment.
The one way you can fool this defense is to pass on Travion and Quinshon, and you'll fool the world by giving it to the whitest guy on the team. Inevitably, he will eat dirt halfway to the end zone.
He was stumbling and fumbling, bro. It looked so bad. They got locked up. They did a crisscross.
I can see the end zone.
They
boom.
Did a crisscross.
Right,
they
did himself.
The unthinkable.
Play some wacky cartoon music.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Texas fought so hard for 2.5 hours to get back in that game, and then that play and the toss wide on second down just slit their throat.
Yeah. Speaking of Tebow, Arch Manning should have been there, Tim Tebow. Yes. They should have used him just like Florida used Tebow the freshman year. Put him in there. Now, maybe he was concussed.
Dude, I wonder.
He could have been. He took a big-time hit. And I do think he fumbled that football. I don't think he was down.
Yeah, Manning's never fumble. You know the rules of the sport.
That's true.
Follow them. It's in the gosh dang rule book.
Yeah, the Mannings never fumble. They just taint incidents.
Tainted. Hey, Mr. Nasty Time called into what you're drinking and what you're thinking.
He was nasty with it.
He trolled Broaddus.
Sure did.
I think he might have triggered Broaddus a little bit.
He did.
Broaddus, you said now that you were going to be a nicer guy this year.
I tried for a couple of minutes.
Hey, man, that was a fun day.
He got you.
Mr. Nasty's back online. Juan here in the G-Bag Nation. Nasty, what you drinking, what you thinking?
I'm halfway through a handle of 1800 today.
Let's go.
Backing that with a little Diet Dr. Pepper.
Nice.
And what I'm thinking is, I don't understand why Cowboys fans come on here and come after me and take themselves way too serious. I will say this. I've came after Mr. Brian Broaddus a couple times, and I genuinely respect how this man defends the worst organization for the last 30 years in the NFL with all his heart. I get that. We all know this is the worst organization in the NFL. It's ran entirely terrible. There's no reason to come after me. But I do respect Brian Broaddus for backing the worst team in the NFL for the last 30 years. Hell of an effort. Thank you, guys.
Hell of an effort.
Hell of an effort.
You should have said it's very commendable.
Yeah. Should have said, hey, I know you're proud of that, Brian. That would have been even better.
Wow, yeah. Well done by Nasty, though.
Yeah.
Half handle in as well.
He sounded like he's a half handle in.
I mean, how many shots are in a handle?
He takes care of his kids while he's doing that. It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was at the liquor store the other day, man, and somebody bent down. You know what I'm saying? Bent down and picked up some Jose Cuervo, the big old bottle, like $19. I'm talking about it is huge. You can fill up a gas tank with it. I almost Earl just looking at her, pick it up. Girl, what you doing? They're going to end up fighting tonight. Somebody's going to go to jail, and there's going to be a lot of throwing up in the morning. Oh, my Lord.
I just looked it up. There's 39 shots in a handle. And you guys took that down last year on that spring training show in like 3.5 hours.
Oh, we were on the Jose?
No, we were Tito's. We were Tito's,
Tito.
But that's 20 drinks each, guys. How are you standing? How did you make it to dinner?
I really don't. There must be something in the air and surprise that really just keeps you going.
The altitude.
Yeah.
The dryness. The dryness. Yeah. No humidity.
I'm bad. Before we get out of here, yesterday was a church day. I pray you got your blessing. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes. You came up this weekend. Somebody reminded me out here in these streets that there was a Jeep club that went through the parking lot of the church harassing the church members. Oh, my Lord. But he's still out here fighting, being strong. Mr. Freddie Haynes.
A Jeep club went through a church parking lot harassing them?
Yeah, they were harassing them.
That's crazy.
It's crazy, bro. Mr. Broaddus, this is your fella right here, the organ player in the church.
Oh, lovely. Yes, go ahead.
He fell out of his damn seat.
Glory to God.
All right.
Amen. If I know him, he... Lord, have mercy. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Y'all help him. Lord.
Yes, Lord.
This boy done tore up the whole organ
seat. Yeah. He done broke it.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay. So I got a guitar.
Lord. Lord, this boy done tore up the whole organ.
That's a shame.
Guy tore up the whole organ. Is it Mr. Nasty Time tearing up Broaddus? Texas and Ohio State, Tebow called the QB keeper, or is it Tony Tolbert? As much as that play hurt my heart and my checking account, I'm going to go with Tebow calling the QB keeper, Chief. How about you?
Yeah, same here.
Lucius?
Yeah, me too.
Wolchuk?
Yeah, I'll go with the church clip.
Brian?
Mr. Nasty Time.
By a score of 3-1-1, your new G-Bag of the Day champion, perhaps for a first time. I don't remember him being it before. It's Tim Tebow. here with you in the G-Bag Nation. If you ever do miss the G-Bag of the Day, Lucius replays that for you in L.A. Live every night, 5:40 here on The Fan. Where are we going next, Chief?
I think the best game of the weekend happened Friday night. Let's look back at the Cotton Bowl next year in the nation.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Jerry Jones' statement says, over the past week, Mike and I had the opportunity to conduct a joint review of all aspects, our players and staff, and also spent time discussing the road forward. These discussions were thorough and received an appropriate amount of time and depth. Prior to reaching the point of contract negotiations, it became mutually clear it would be better for each of us to head in different directions. I thank Mike and wish him and his family the best. They have been a wonderful part. We'll commence a search process immediately as Mike McCarthy is out. And now we get to talk about where the Cowboys might go with this. But before we get there, Chief has best of the weekend.
Yes, yes. And I have to admit, I swung and missed on what my pick was for the must-watch game of the football weekend. I put it on Jordan Love having a better game. And the Eagles and Packers going down to the wire, but that wasn't the case. Friday night, did we peak? Did we peak Friday night with the football? Did it get any better than that? Because that was as entertaining of a 4 hours, and I was like Lucius watching the McAfee cast, and just adds another fun conversational development. Here comes Tim Tebow. Oh, there's Nick Saban stopping by. Tony Hinchcliffe, the comedian in town, sure, yeah. Pop on. Fake Mel Kiper makes an appearance evaluating some players. So it was a great time, but my goodness, what a four quarters of fun football.
I mean, the only contender would be Commanders Buccaneers, but mm-hmm. It was just great with the local angle. And after the first, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes of game time, it looked like the Longhorns weren't going to be able to put up a fight. We were just waiting for Ohio State to run it up. But, I mean, their defense got after it. They started running the ball, you know. I think one of my biggest takeaways is there's no way in HE double hockey sticks I'd want my NFL team anywhere near Quinn Ewers. You know, I'm surprised he was allowed to continue because his pocket awareness, his accuracy, his arm strength, his footwork – after so much time post high school, to have it not be better than that, it was embarrassing, you know, and disappointing at several junctures throughout that game. But to your point, the entertainment was out of this world after they looked so bad for the first quarter plus, and then to come back and actually have a shot to win.
Yeah, I mean, the fight that they showed, because you finally get the answer and it's 7-7, and then you blink your eyes, and on the very next play, right there before half, you get the 75-yard screen pass.
It was a perfect call into the blitz.
It was just beautiful.
Chip Kelly couldn't have dialed that play call up any better time. It really was beautiful. And I loved watching Jahdae Barron throughout this entire game, because they started off with like, okay, we're not going to put John Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, they were kind of mixing it up.
And they did. They were moving him around a lot, and they did an excellent job. Jeremiah Smith, I think, had two catches.
Useless in the game.
Now it's like, okay, is this a blueprint for Ohio for Notre Dame moving into the championship game? I don't know. They're without one of their best corners, so I don't know that that's going to work out for them. But Jahdae Barron lines up over Jeremiah Smith the first time, and he's like, hell yeah. Let's do this. Like it was so much fun. The sweep call, that's when Sark's going to be having nightmares. And we've seen, I mean, like if you're a Texas fan, you watch Texas every week, Sark in the red zone, this isn't something new. He has struggled with his play calling. But
Oklahoma game 2 years ago, at
the 1 yard line, there's something about it. They have issues. I was calling for Arch. Maybe Arch wasn't physically able to, but it was. In Ohio State, clearly to your point, like you're watching the game, I just was saying the Buckeyes are too good.
Well, I mean, the Buckeyes' goal line defense is just outstanding, right? So I think he was going with the theory that got Arch Manning free on that fourth down run, which was we'll have them thinking middle, we'll have a little misdirection and pop it outside. Maybe we'll have real estate. So I didn't hate that call nearly as much as I hated them taking so much of their time once they got inside the 10. I mean, how much time was left in the game? I'm thinking, okay, get some plays run. If you don't get in, let's kick the field goal play defense, you know, and try to get the ball back with a chance to win this game. So that was my bigger issue with Sark there late in the game.
And the way it all came full circle with the former roommate of Quinn Ewers, Jack Sawyer, now a forever legend in Buckeye history. What a legendary moment for him, and in walk-off fashion. And then Texas fans are a little frustrated with the laissez-faire attitude a little bit of Ewers afterwards. Like, darn it, that's my guy, though.
You know what cracked me up about that Sawyer run is just how relatively unathletic great athletes can look when they're not the wide receiver. You know, the wide receiver is graceful and he's a bolt. And there's Sawyer out there who's an absolute beast, man-child, alpha athlete. And he looked like he had poop in his pants.
Yeah, my wife was laughing. He's like, man, he's not really fast. There must have been no one there. I'm like, yeah, that was just he was afforded an opportunity. Everybody was on the other side of the field. It was awesome. And that was the play before half the screen touchdown is the first time I've ever rewound it and broke something down as best I could for my wife to just understand how awesome it was that what we just witnessed. Because she was in there. She's like, wait, they just scored. What just happened? I'm like, yeah, Chip Kelly just dialed it up in the most perfect way.
It happened so quick, I thought it was a kick return touchdown because I walk back into the living room after making some dinner prep. Abby wanted dinner at halftime. I'm like, okay, perfect. Longhorns just scored. I go in there. I get the oil going. I get the chicken down. I walk back in. Dude's coming around the corner for the touchdown. I'm like, wow, that's unlucky.
Oh, my gosh. But, hey, that's a guy.
Brilliant play call.
He's on the running back radar, you know? I mean, that's a guy that you, I don't know if you have to draft him at 11 overall
or whatever. Speaking of that, how about Blue? What round's Blue going in?
I haven't seen, I have not, I've studied eight running backs. He just declared, so I have to put him on my list of guys to do. This thing does go pretty deep. This thing, I've got this thing for four rounds now of actual running backs. That's
the deepest position, no question.
It's absolutely a deep position there. I'll say this, though, about Sawyer. We talked about, before in the pregame leading up, Downs the safety on the fourth down play.
Oh, dude, you were right about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now, that is a veteran. They talk about NIL money for this team. That their defense is really all about senior players.
Yeah. Except that
their NIL money is spent over on the offensive side of the ball. The defense Downs, though, is one of those guys, though. You exactly saw what he could do playing downhill, being unblocked. It's so funny. I was watching Georgia run the same play against Mississippi and score and got everybody blocked, and it was a walk-in. But you leave one guy unblocked, especially a guy that could play downhill like Downs can. That makes a big difference there.
Yeah, it was great. And then I think the best decision I made this weekend was halftime of the Packers game, getting the thin crust meat lovers with a little jalapeno from Pizza Hut. Nice. I think if I'm just looking back at everything that I did, that was unequivocally the best decision I made. But it was Saturday night was epic.
Saturday night was great.
With the football that was on, got to hang out with Sean and Bobby and Jake, hanging out at Christie's, pre-gaming for Shane Gillis, watching the football. Shout out to the Texans doing what nobody thought they could do in the early game. Chargers going to Charger. Was that three interceptions Justin Herbert?
That ended up being four.
It was a long day. Yeah, it was long day for the Chargers. And then Lamar Jackson and the Ravens do what they do. But Saturday night was fun. Got to see Waldchuk and his lovely lady. Hit a little comedy show action at the AAC. The chicken tenders were on point. Got to show love to that.
They were.
It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, it was a blast. We ended up getting to sit up in the nosebleeds. Shout out to John Brown, big time Tolo. Hit me up, was like, hey, dude, I got these tickets. You want them? I'm like, hell yeah, get me in the building. And it ended up being a blast. I mean, that place, I think they said it was the largest crowd ever for a comedy show there at the AAC. So incredible performance for Shane.
We were a part of history.
Part of history.
That's beautiful. Yeah,
I had one of my nerdiest weekends of all time. You guys ever do any coding?
No.
No.
On the computer?
My bandwidth doesn't work.
So it was my vision to have an artificial intelligence agent for the GBAG Nation on our Twitter page, right? Okay. That could answer questions about the radio station and about Dallas sports. And I probably put 14 hours into it combined from Friday night to last night. And I was on the doorstep, and it all just fell apart, and it was this cascading, computer hell that I was in. So I got a reset probably coming up this weekend and see if I can get it back over the goal line.
That's pretty badass, dude.
So do you feel like you know what went wrong and how to go about fixing it, or are you still kind of just shooting from the hip?
Yeah, yeah. The files and the details and every little character it matters a lot. The cool thing is you don't need to know how to code anymore because you can just ask AI to do the code for you.
Okay.
Right? So it's kind of going back and forth from AI, like, hey, code this for me.
Ultimate cheat code.
Dude, it was that's interesting awesome. at the same time maddening. Like, yeah, I don't know if my stress levels have ever been that high as an adult.
Unreal.
Trying to figure it out.
Well, and shout out to the guy who was vomiting my backyard at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. I like your style,
who
sir.
Who the hell was that, man?
That might have been
You don't know who it was?
I don't know. It definitely wasn't me, Dawson.
Just a random guy.
It was definitely not
me.
Right on, brother. Well, thank you so much. That's a best of the weekend in the books. NFL news of the day is coming up next, Woolchuck, as Mike McCarthy is out of here. Where are you taking us?
Yeah, we'll get the latest coaching buzz. Ashton Gentry is shooting his shot in a very bad beat. That's next.